Blog Talk Radio.
First time listening in, and praise God, welcome, welcome, welcome.
however you got here. Thank the person for inviting you, whether it was through a phone call or however they invited you to tell them I said thank you. Nonetheless, I always want to make sure that I acknowledge you because you're going to be doing something else on your Monday night. And our goal here on the broadcast is to make sure that we always encourage, that we always educate, and that we always empower. It's definitely not something that is brand new, I claim to know, but I do know that the Word of God is always encouraging. And so when we want to make sure that we have an encouraging word, we use the word, amen. And then we want to make sure that we learn something from that. And so whatever it is that God has on our hearts, it may be different for me than it is for you, but we want to learn something, so we always want to be educated. So it may not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that we can grow on and we can learn from, and allow God to help us manifest whatever it is that he has a desire for us to learn and gain. And that's why we want you to learn something and be empowered by it, then be empowered to share with someone else. Amen. Well, those of you that have been with me, believe it's going on 11 years. 11 years we have been in this thing. We have been here to share the gospel and to share different topics and different things that God leads us to understand and learn about. But more importantly, you've been here with me. And so you give me encouragement, you come empowered. And then you keep me studying so that I can continue to learn more, to be able to speak on different topics and things. It helps us all because I'm not unique in this situation. Just because I'm sharing doesn't mean I know. And so because of your prayers, because of your outstretched and pouring hand, you allow me to study so that I can make sure that I'm in God's grace and favor to share what he has and what he lays on my heart each week to do. Most importantly, since I can't call you all by name, I can only call the two that have definitely been an inspiration for me, and that has been Jesse and Tammy Storm. And, of course, Mega Ministry Group. Without them, I wouldn't be able, well, I wouldn't have known definitely that the radio was a platform for me. But nevertheless, they have been examples, and they have continued to push me and to continue to encourage me to do what God has called me to do, and that is to teach his word. And so I will always be grateful for them and have to call them by name because they continue to support me in this thing as well. But now our greatest praise and our best praise has to go to our Father above. He's my Father, he's your Father. Whether you know it or not, he's all of our fathers. And so we owe him grace and gratitude and thanks to him because we want to make sure that we acknowledge that he is the one, he is the true one. So let us go before him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning. Father, we don't take that lightly. You woke us up this morning. Give us a minute to bow down. And you allow us to be in our right mind. And so for that, we say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be able to move and have our being on today. You allowed us to go to school, go to work, wherever we went, Father. You allowed us to get there. And you allowed your angels to accompany us, give us travel mercy to make sure that we made it to our destination. And then, Father, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to be able to hear a word of God from you. And to believe that that word came to us because you know we need and you know where we are lacking. And so we thank you for allowing the word to help us move forward. So, Father, we know that you can stop with your word, give us the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, Father, you allow Jesus to make the ultimate sacrifice so that we can have the protection and we can be under the very blood of Jesus to be able to see the enemy tries to throw and know in confidence that he has no power when it comes to you. So, Father, thank you for letting us to have a relationship with you, to know you, to operate in truth, to operate in wisdom, knowing that you are the ultimate one, and that as long as we stay next to you, your presence will remain, because without you, we can absolutely not attempt to do nothing. So I thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to share your word. Let it minister to all of us and over our hearts and minds so that we can receive. And not just keep it for today, we want to be able to be doers of your word, not just hearers, so that we can always share fresh by the word. We love you, we honor, we adore you, and we thank you. There'll be no distractors. Distractions are hindrances to provide this work going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, praise God, praise God. If you don't know, you will know that my name is Dr. Happy. I live tons of more importantly, I am one of God's soldiers. And so I am so excited on tonight to be able to really kind of important, and I wasn't able to really get into detail last week when I was here, that my grandmother had passed, praise God, because it was still kind of fresh. And so over the weekend, we had her funeral. It was a blessing to be able to see as many family members to come as needed, and those that couldn't come to be there in spirit until even acknowledge that they wanted to be there but could not. And so one of the coolest things is I've always had this mindset of doing her eulogy. And so because of generational things or whatever that was beyond my control, I was able to give an encouraging word. And so one of the coolest things is that I believe in my heart that the more we learn and the more we study about the Word of God, we get to see things that are traditional and things that are man-made, and those are the things that stand true to God. So that's why studying is so important for us to know the Word for ourselves. So a cousin approached me to come to my college this weekend, and he approached me and he said, "You're a priest." And I said, "No." And he said, "But you got the thing on." Well, no, that is not what that means. So he said, "Yeah, that's what that means." He said, "You didn't go to school for that." I said, "I did." And I said, "Well, not everybody goes to school to minister." He said, "I know, but you had a thing on." And so it really intrigued him. And so I laughed because I knew that he told me from a different platform. He dealt with different. So I had to acknowledge that sometimes we get so accustomed to seeing things. And that's what the grace is all about. When we get accustomed to seeing things and then people appear to us differently, it causes us to lose some things. And so it was interesting that his weekend was surrounded by grief, but there were so many other people grieving, not because of my grandfather's passing. It was grieving the familiarity of being able to go to Tuscaloosa and we were going to her house. But it's not her house anymore. Now, granted, she, you know, went through the process. But now it belongs to my uncle. And so it, the shifting will change. It will still be her sphere because, of course, you know, but you have to move on. And that's why it's so important that we understand what grief is so that we don't allow it to betray us, to make us go in directions that God did not intend it. We were all born to die. This is not who we are. This fleshly body is not what God intended for forever. Because if it was an intent, we would be there forever. He wants to make sure that our mind, our soul, and our spirit, that is part of our soul. We're a three-part being. We just happen to live in an earthly body. And so that spirit man, our soul, our mind, will, and emotion has to be aligned with God so that we can go back to him. Those of us that don't understand that prior to living this fleshly body, amen, we all will live forever. It's a matter of where you're going to live forever. And so in times of grief, we can get so caught up in the losing of the person, we forget to remember, did that person connect back to God? Are they going to live a life of persecution in hell? So while we're grieving, we have to make sure that we're still vessels for the Lord to use to make sure those that we love, that we truly love, will live forever with him. And so when people ask me, "Have you cried yet?" Leah, you know, you don't seem sad. Yes, I have my moments, but I'm sad. I'm disappointed, too, that she's gone. But I'm more happy that she knew Jesus. I'm excited that she's with her Father. I'm excited that she's no longer in pain. So, yes, I'm disappointed. I'm extremely happy because I got to see her in the body when it betrays you. And so she was grieving. She was grieving that her body was not operating the way that she wanted it. And so we have to be mindful, sometimes we become selfish in our mindset, that we want somebody to be with us. I mean, that's, you know, those who depart and those that are still here. We want this particular person to be right so that they can operate the way we want them to operate. And sometimes that's just not possible. And so that process of losing that person is still a part of grief. Because we want that person to be what we desire for them to be. But amen, sometimes it just doesn't learn how to control our emotions. We have to learn how to make sure that we're in line with the things of God so that we don't get too far off. You know, the enemy wants us to be far into the left stratosphere so that we can't hear and don't know the things of God. And so where I step in, praise God, having to have experienced grief in so many different platforms, from sicknesses, from illnesses, from disasters, from people leaving and leaving me and being rejected and all the things that I've had to deal with. I've dealt with grief for a long time. And not that I've mastered it, but I recognize that demon when he comes. And so I'm not moved like others are moved because I've seen him before. I know the atmosphere. And so I'm trying to make sure that in my ministry that I help people along, not necessarily just to understand what grief is, but understand the adversary and his job. His job is to shut us up, to sit us down, to have us so emotionally bound that we can't be any earthly or spiritual good. And so we have to understand our assignment. We have to understand what we were designed and created for and be about the business that God has for us. Because when we do anything else, we're being used by the wrong person to use and to further his agenda. If I was completely broken, if I was completely out of sorts, I could not perform my assignment. And because God needed me and because the family needed me, I had to make sure that I was in God's will and in God's grace and in God's position to be used how I was used. And so for that, I have to understand that the challenges that I face, the things and disappointments and the things that I've lost over the period of years, all for a moment such as this. Why? Because it was necessary. Because those of us that are living still need a word from on high. Still need to get our lives in check so that we're operating in the things of God. Now, I will talk a little bit about my grandmother because, praise God, it is an amazing life she lived. And so instead of me talking about the state of grief and how to come back from grief, I asked God to give me something, give me a word. And because my time was limited, give me a word that's knowledgeable enough and engaging enough that he can take those few little words and move with it. Because he knows I love plastic. And I love the words, the words. He gave me the grief. Analogy. So grace was for the G, relationships was for the R, the integrity was for the I, the E for sympathy or empathetic, and the F was for forgive. And when he gave me that, I was excited. And so I couldn't grieve like I thought I could because, you know, again, watching other people and then listening to people to try to make me feel like I was not grieving because I wasn't in tears. I had asked the Lord, what means that is? And he said, because I have a word for you, and I need you to be on point. And so I'm grateful that in that few little moments, amen, that word ministered to people, not because I gave it, but because the Lord gave it. And so unto me, I knew that I would have more time to really kind of express what it means. And so when we talk about grief, I already explained that it's basically something we lose, and it doesn't always have to be things. It could be people. It could be situations. It could be a job. It could be anything that we've had that we've connected to, that we have or source of relationship with that is no longer. And so there is a period of time that we will be sorrowful, that we will be sad. Here to remind you that you can't get caught up and lose sight because you still have to live. And so God had an understanding that we would die. And so because of that, he has given us his word for us to stand on. And so, as I said, he gave us the word grace and gave us analogies to kind of break it down. And so the word grace, and I used it in respect of my grandmother on Saturday and how gracious she was. When we really talk about that's grace, we are usually thinking about something that is undeserved. But it is limitless favor. Grace, the grace of God, is something that we cannot earn. It's something that is freely given. It's something that God gave us so that we can build a relationship with him. And that's why it was so cool how these words were connection with you, because not only do we need God's grace, but we need to have be in relationship with you. And so we're in a relationship with him. There's two main relationships. There's a relationship with him and a relationship with the things that he created. And when we understand that, then we'll understand his unlimited grace. It is grace that allows us to be able to look at the sky and to look at the sun and the moon and the stars. That is his grace. Allows us to appreciate that they rise and they set when they're supposed to. Amen. It is his grace through his presence that we know we have intimate relationship with him. It's through his grace, praise God, that we get to move and have his being. So without understanding what spiritual grace is, we really have a relationship. And so I love the scripture, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9. And it talks about how sometimes we need grace in the times of trouble. And in this particular passage of scripture, Paul was had some issues because he had this, they call it a thorn in his side. We don't know the metaphor. But nevertheless, there was something that was ailing him that he wished he didn't have so that he could do what was necessary because he understood his assignment. And so many of us understand our assignment, but we get caught up by things that we're missing, things that we're lacking, and we forget. I love this scripture because it says that three times he pleaded for God to get away from him. But then he said that the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, we'll boast all the more gladly about weaknesses. For I, amen, can say with cancer that I am grateful for God's grace. Through the heart attack, I am grateful for God's grace. Through the strokes, I am grateful for God's grace. So I'm about to have surgery in a couple of weeks on my hands, so I can't even hold stuff. But nevertheless, through the weakness, I know that God will make me wise. Because if I want all these crazy things to happen, no. But because I have the experience, because I know how to know, I'm not talking about or preaching about something that I heard about. I'm preaching from a standpoint of understanding, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that it will never leave me nor forsake me. And his grace is sufficient. It is sufficient to help me in the times of my weakness, as well as the times that I feel like I'm on the mountain. Amen. And so we have to delight. The word says that the verse says delight in weaknesses, insults, and hardships, and persecution, and difficulties. So when we are weak, amen, because we know who we belong to, because we know that God will never leave us nor forsake us, we know that in them moments, those moments we are strong. That's why I continue to do the broadcast in the hospital. That's why I continue to share God's word no matter where I am, that I have to remember that I cannot allow my faculties to control what God has already assigned for me to do. I know my assignment. I'm telling you, you do you know yours. And when you do know yours, amen, study. And show yourself to be strong and to be able to approve that you can divide whatever it is that comes your way, because you will be able to sustain. Why? You know, God didn't give you the gift for it to go to the wayside. His gifts are without repentance. So whatever your assignment, whatever your talents, whatever your gifts are, they are for you to use for his glory. And when you do that, amen. Do you think heart attacks and strokes shoot me? I mean, it caused me pause, don't get me wrong. But I knew that it wasn't up to death because I hadn't finished my assignment. And so it gave me the encouragement that I thought you're going to use this for some reason. Don't know what it is, but I know that you're going to use it. And so I can walk in grace with that. Amen. The R is for relationship. Why is it important for us to understand God's relationship with us? It's necessary. It's necessary. One of the scriptures that he laid on my heart to share with all, it was Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. But I love relationships because I studied years ago and understood that there are two relationships. One with him, that's why we have a vertical relationship, a horizontal relationship. A vertical relationship with him, and we have a horizontal relationship with other things. That's how we get across. There are two relationships, one Lord, but there are two relationships, one with him and one with the things he created. And so when we understand understand that, and when we give our lives to him, then we are more apt to be obedient to the things that he did on hand. And so one of the first and the great, well, it's not the first, but it's the greatest commandment. It's one that's the most important, that's what I call it, the number one commandment, to discuss in these passages of scriptures. I like that it starts in verse 28, though, by one of the teachers of the law. And that's why it's so important when my little cousin tells me he went to school for that, like I did. But the school part of it didn't invest me. The school part of it, because I wanted to know what I was talking about. I wanted to make sure I didn't go off what other people were saying. And that's how we can get caught up in tradition, and we can get caught up in the things of the system, because they'll make us believe certain things that are not necessarily true. But it's based on somebody's regurgitated information and not the word. So we have to be mindful when we're reading and we're studying that we ask God, and all our getting get understanding. But nevertheless, one of the teachers that was a teacher of the word heard when Jesus was explaining what was important and what wasn't important. And so he challenged and he said, well, what is the most important one? And so in verse 29, it says, and Jesus answered, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. There are no commandments greater than this. It is comical to me sometimes when we hear scripture, people put their own stuff in there. What is he saying? He said, love the Lord with all your mind, all your heart, and all your strength. Didn't say whether you're a girl or a boy. Didn't say whether you're a minister or not a minister. It says all. That's all of us. We are to love the Lord with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our minds, and with all of our strength. Why is that important? It's important because you have to be in love with God in all these areas in order to be the second one, to love other people. Amen. We all know we come in contact with different types of people. Some of them have strong beliefs. Some of them have wrong beliefs. Some of them are nasty. Some of them are mean. Some of them are crooked. Some of them are evil. But you still have to love them. And so you have to be able to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, to be able to love other people. Because my uncle always said, when you see people, if you can't look through them and see Jesus, you have to look over them. And if you can't look over them and see Jesus, and look under him. And if you still can't see Jesus looking under him, over him, or through him, then you have to look around him. And if you can't see Jesus on the other side, then it's time to be back away. Nevertheless, you need the love of God to be able to love all types of people. And that's why relationships are important. It's always comical to me, again, how this world system makes you believe you can handle it on your own. You don't need nobody. You got it all, you know. You can do it on your own. He even told Adam. He told Adam, when he was the only one person, man should not be by himself. That's why he created Eve. Now, you know, that's a whole other message that men need to understand. They can't do everything by himself. But they need. They need to be real. Amen. I love my great-grandfather. He used to call his wife real. And he never understood that as a kid, but of course, you get older, you understand. He understood that she was Israel. That was so endearing. We need people. We need people. We cannot do this on our own. And what we're saying is we need to be by my side, to be compounded, to be by myself. Why? So that you can continue to whisper crazy stuff to you, that you can't have somebody connect you back into reality and be like, no, you have responsibilities. You have stuff you need to do. This is I need you. I count on you. I depend on you. You need to have relationships with people. And why is that important? Because it's the second commandment. After loving God with all your heart, all your soul, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And I know me and my girlfriend laughed about it. It says love your neighbor as yourself. Many times we forget that yourself is on there too. We want to love our neighbors and love our neighbor, but we forget to love ourselves. It is so important to love you. You have to love you enough to want it better. I wanted to do better. I didn't want to get caught up with my emotions. I lost my mother, my first sister. I lost my sister, my mother, and my father before I was 14. Are you freaking kidding me? I should not be as sound as I am. But if I allow my emotions and allow my situation to get caught up in that, I wouldn't be worth anything. But I know I have promise that God gave me, and I can't stand on that, worrying about my emotions, getting lost in my emotions. I cannot do that. That is not my assignment. And so he's given me the strength, but he's given us all the same amount of strength, the same amount of grace. We all have it. It's whether you want to exercise it or not. It's almost like how we see bodybuilders, and we see them with all these muscles, and they're like, wow, their body was just hard. No. They trained for their bodies to look like that. And we can get our bodies to look like that if we did what was necessary to get it to look that way. I love Kevin Hart. Everybody wants to be famous, but they don't want to do the work. Everybody wants to have a relationship with God. They want to pray and be able to lead and all the things that they claim, but they don't want to work it. It takes time to put the work in. To leave folks away. That just didn't happen because I just wished it. No, I have to practice and I have to work at it and I have to do what is necessary. When everybody's in the day of sleep, I'm up reading my word. I'm praying and I'm fasting and I'm doing the things that necessary that other folks don't want to do. That is why I'm able to do what I'm able to do. Not because I have this special gifting. We don't get it. But nevertheless, we all have the same gift when it comes to sharing word. He said all. He wants us all to love him with all our heart, all our strength, and to love our neighbors and ourselves. You can do that, but you got to do the work in order for it to manifest. And so, having this relationship, amen, with others, praise God, it will save you. It serves as accountability piece. It keeps us to be able to come in next for integrity. What is integrity? Integrity basically is being honest, having some strong moral principles, having some moral right thoughts. I mean, to some degree, all of us desire things that we don't necessarily have rights to. I would say right, because I would like to have $1 million living at home, but I do believe in my heart, if I had things, at least right now, I'm not mature enough for that. And so I can be honest with myself today. I know my God has me where he has me because I have a mindset that I want to help all of my people. And I know that if I was in those types of places, my mindset would be to help those that are less fortunate. I'm like, only a few things. But actually going and sitting and preparing meals for, spending my last, I wouldn't do that if I had a different mindset. And so I love the state of being of where I am. I'm true to myself. I'm true to the things of God. And so if God cares for me to have those things in the future, in the near future, Lord, but I have those things in me now because I have perfected some integrity about myself, not other people, but about myself. I believe that I could be true to the things of God because I've been there now. Had I just been given, it's almost like when you talk about privilege, but that's a privilege. They can't see. Why? They've never been put in a position where they had to see things differently. And so I love the fact that I understand what integrity means. Not just about being honest, although that is important, but it's standing up for what you believe is right and living by the highest standards of morals, of life, allowing those values to ensure that you are doing the things that God will be pleased for. And so I know that taking just because they drop it on the ground, well, amen, one man's trash is another man's trash. I keep watching that knowing that the man dropped his wallet because he goes to the ground to play his trash. But the integrity of my heart is to go catch him, find him, try to meet him if necessary to make sure that he is his Lord. And why is that important? Because, amen, I'm grateful that other people have integrity. When I went to Minnesota a couple weeks ago, I dropped my wallet on the ground. And what if somebody didn't have integrity? I would have never gotten it. She could be using it myself. And why and how? Amen. I have to believe with God. He laid on her heart to cash $1,000 so that she could let me know that she had my wallet. I don't know that I would have even thought of that. I've been, I just put it in the mail and hope that driver's license was accurate. They got, you know, what they're supposed to get, because she couldn't do that. She cashed at me $1,000 and said, I have your wallet. I can meet with you tomorrow and give you your wallet back. I found it in the street. Okay, when you operate in integrity, you pray God, someone will operate in integrity on your behalf. Amen. And so I believe that's why God gave me this scripture, Philippians 4. And so Philippians 4 has a lot of instructions on how we are to love and how we are to stand and walk in joy. But I love this particular passage in verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, that you gotta be honest. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. You can't think about deceiving people if you're thinking about things that are true or noble or right. You can't think about robbing people or taking things from people that, you know, don't belong to you, or being stealing, gossiping about people on the job, or, you know, not doing the right homework, or whatever the situation that you're in. If you're thinking on those things that are praiseworthy and true. And I love that verse 9 even says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it to practice, and God's peace will be with you. It's so interesting to me how people receive the Bible. I mean, but then they want to believe certain things, then they don't want to believe it all. You got to take it all. You got to take it all. And it is a blessing when you study it and you show yourself right to do what it's supposed to do. And that helps you to be able to be empathetic. What is empathetic? What is empathy? It's a way for you to be able to understand the sense and the emotions and all the things that are coupled with other people. It almost goes back to, if you can love your neighbor yourself, then you should be able to believe it and think, well, you know, I'm not grieving because I've learned how to master my emotions. So I'm going to judge people because they can't. I do get on my sister. I know she's listening. I do talk about her. She has a charming commercial. Anything to set her up. And I'm like, hurry, check your emotions. But I have to recognize, you know, she's just a little soft. Amen. She's squishy soft. But nevertheless, sometimes, though, there are times she needs to control her emotions. And so we've talked quite a bit over the last couple of months. And I'm hoping that she can take it back to her, because some of our emotions we can control. We allow ourselves to be used, but they will take over, right? Because our body, our flesh, wants us to be out of the mind. It wants us to be so caught up and so dismissive to what's really going on. We can miss signs that we can, you know, I still took a friend of mine a couple months ago, took his life, and it still bothers me, because I knew he knew the word. I knew he was a minister of the word. I knew that he was a fabulous and wonderful family. And I just cannot imagine what was so devastating that he lost himself to do that. And I'm praying that it's not a true statement. But nevertheless, when people take their life because they're so overcome and overwhelmed with sadness and grief, amen, you're missing the connection that God is trying to reach you. There is nothing, absolutely, positively nothing that will separate us from the love of God. And the thing that can, we don't even know how to do that, praise God. But how do we allow ourselves to get caught up like that? Well, because we're not getting in tune to our emotions. And then, those of us that we know that in our community of people to check on, we allow our emotions. I'm tired. I don't feel like calling nobody. I'm sure somebody had him to call him to say what was necessary, but then averted his attention. But because we are not thinking of ourselves, because we're not being empathetic, we're just, you know, it's all about me. And we miss and choose what God lays on our heart. Somebody comes in your spirit and you haven't thought about it in a while. Can you please text, call, put a postcard in the mail? I think it's so we've gotten so far away from the mail and the post office. But I have promised myself that, you know, not just because it's Christmas, it's in Christmas cards. well, we should have, we should all practice and save the post office industry. My family works. But we should just send postcards. They're like 30, 40 cents. I mean, it costs $2 to get a soda. 30, 40 cents. I'm not exactly sure how much a postcard is, but I know it's under 50 cents. Get the postcard just right up. You put their address on the address. What do you buy the post office? Leave it. Can I use a pen for a minute and just say, I love you? Or a happy face. I mean, that's a circle of two dots and a curve. You put it in the mail. Somebody, you just don't know. They may get that and they may need it. They get them over the hump or wherever they're going. They could be grieving for something that we just not privileged to know about. But you can help them. We have to start thinking of other people more and more highly than we think of ourselves. And that's why I love the scripture in Romans 12, because they are my heart to share for this. And it was, so in Christ, we in many forms, we are one body. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. We have different things that have been graced to us. But all of those things come together. I heard someone mention one time, you could be the finger and I could be the toe. And somebody else could be the hip. Somebody else could be the shoulder. Somebody else could be the knee. Somebody could be a eye. Somebody could be a ear. But we're all one body. And one part doesn't work, it challenges us. I was laughing and somebody was saying how they had to do something with their thumb. And they didn't realize how much it really affects the hand. I mean, that'd be just the thumb. God knew what he was doing when he created this body. Every part is necessary. And now, you know, they're saying we may not need the one thing, and we may not need some other parts of our body. But I have to believe God put them there for a reason. Maybe they were to share with other people. Amen. But nevertheless, he gave them to them so we need them. And so if we need the body in order to do all things that are necessary, as a body of believers, we need each other. If I can't rejoice because my sister is sad, I can't rejoice because my brother lost his job. We all have to think more highly of our of others than we do of ourselves, and find a way to minister to them. Like I said, a postcard, a phone call, a text message. I remember I used to do a lot of text messages, and one of the ladies said, "Oh, I got a text message from." I mean, they too. I said, so you just send a message to everybody? And I said, no. And she said, you said different messages. And I said, yes. Amen. Praise God. I hope I didn't lose you. Okay. But nevertheless, it says in Romans 12 and 9, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favor of ever serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people that you are in need. Practice hospitality. So people practice what is like, Why do you can't people call you happy? Why do you call that happy faces? I love the word says that you live in harmony with us, with one another. Thanks, I could go on and on and on. I missed that last sentence. We have to be encouraging. I gave the scripture from Romans 12 and 9. Love must be sincere. Love, you have to claim what is good. Read the whole chapter of Romans 12 because it's really, really amazing. And then last, I love talking. I'm never out of talk, but I will be out of time in a few minutes. So I really do want to spend a little time on this forgiveness. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? According to the world system, forgiveness means to let go of resentment and give it any claim to be compensated for the hurt or loss we have suffered. Or those who have studied the world know that they call the real bunch further than that. And so, the Bible teaches us that we are to forgive because God forgave us. But we have to remember, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It is a noun. So it is a thing. It is something that God requires care about us to move forward. Why is that necessary? So God wants us to come before him all with clean hands and pure hearts. Why is that necessary? I apologize. I love my kids. I love my listeners. Some words are coming through, and I apologize. And so I'll repeat some things just to make sure that we get you, because I want you to make sure you understand grace and you understand relationships, you understand integrity, you understand that you need to be empathetic, you need to know that you need to forgive, and that's going to be iron out in forgiving. Why forgiveness is so important? It's important because if we understand the sentiment of being forgiven, it would be easier for us to forgive. I know from my grandmother, and I have shared on many occasions, that we didn't have the best relationship in the beginning. Amen. It was her way or the highway. And here in this dispensation that we'll be able to express where brothers and children given too much autonomy, I guess. And so, yeah, many times I share my opinions that I probably should have kept to myself. But nevertheless, I had to learn that end of the day that we have to respect our elders. So I didn't respect her by being so open and so voiceful. And so, and she didn't like that either, but you know, she gave me grace because she knew I was going through some things. And so eventually we learned to appreciate each other. And so I had to learn to forgive her because I didn't understand how my sisters, all four of us, were born from the same mother, same father. We had the same blood, if you will, how she would treat my younger sister different than she did my, me and my other sister. And even at times, I didn't understand the family, for that matter. So they clung to my sister, didn't cling to me and my older sister, where I felt that they should have. Maybe that was part of God's grace that he gave me discernment at an early age. I didn't get it because both of us knew our parents. And so if anybody should have clung to, should have been us, because we were really grieving. My mom, when the baby died, my mom was, they barely was old. So they didn't know my mother, and they really didn't know my father. They knew a little bit until they were seven, but nevertheless, they grieved my father. Now, granted, all of us are grown now, and we have our own children, so we understand what that means not to have mom. So absolutely all are in the same boat when it comes to grief. But nevertheless, growing up, I didn't understand, like, that made me angry, because it was, why did I reach out to us? Why nobody sent for us? Why nobody sent us stuff? Why nobody catered to us when we were the ones that knew both of our parents? But nevertheless, I had to learn to forgive. I had to learn that people do what they're exposed to. And so if you don't know how to love someone, how to forgive, how to minister to someone's needs, blame them for that. You can't. Let go. And so I had to learn forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness for you. If you can't forgive the other person, they probably don't even know that you have issue or ought against them. And that's why the Bible is so clear when it says, when you have ought against your brother, go to your brother. Don't go to the neighbor. Don't go to your girlfriend. Go to your guy friend. Don't talk about it at the club and at the bar. Go to the person and offend you. It's really good to be for them. Because remember, the enemy wants to be caught up in your emotions. And so you can't love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, and all your soul, and all the things that you're supposed to love him with when you're holding on to things that will keep you from being clean enough to be before him. He can't see you or hear you with all that grief you about not forgiving somebody when they may not even know what they've done. Now, granted, I've talked to people because I minister to a lot of people, and one of the major things, especially those that have been sexually abused, no, I can never forgive them. Yeah, you really can. It seems difficult, but if Jesus has to give us all, and he took as many letters, that's why I love watching Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson, bless his heart, they talk about him, but he got that right, because it straightened me out big time. See chunks of his skin being snapped out of his body, and the blood and the gore, and just imagining that really happened to someone. For me to have an opportunity to have an intimate relationship, and I'm going to turn my nose up because when I stepped on my toe, they didn't realize it. Or even if they get me, I'm not going to go to heaven because I stepped on my toe, whatever. No, ma'am. I'm going to forgive. And I'm going to do what is necessary to help me get in a posture to forgive. I can't hold stuff against people because they didn't know. And if you're in the right position, as my nephew told me, that when you're ready to be a student, not send a teacher. And so when I was ready to forgive my grandmother, and I really forgive her, God showed me a movie. And I realized it wasn't that she didn't love me. She didn't know how to love me, how I wanted me to be loved by her. That wasn't her responsibility. Her responsibility was to love me how she felt. And her responsibility to love her how I felt. And the woman was responsible for loving each other. How God wanted us to love each other. And so if she didn't get to the point yet, I can't blame her for that. But she blamed me for that. We had to learn how that's why relationships are important. And so once I understood that and I mentioned it to her, I get it now. You love us all. You just love us the way you want to love us. And I was good from that moment to that. I was able to forgive everybody. And it wasn't a big deal to me because I realized the enemy wanted me to hold on to something to keep me bumped away from God's goodness. I'm not going to let nothing hold me up or keep me in a posture that God could use me without somebody saying something to hurt my feelings. Well, did they really hurt my feelings? It's almost like my pastor used to say, when you're dead in Christ, you're dead to everything. Because the old things have gone away, and we're living in this new life, this new posture. How can I live in a new posture on the old self? And so he gave an analogy of to somebody dead and said, you show is ugly. They're not going to raise up and say, no, I'm not. So if that is dead to me because I know who I am because I believe the word, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, you can call me ugly all day long. But because I know who I am in Christ and what God has given me, gifts and the talents and the know-how and the assignment that I have, do you think that I'm a little on the chunky side, that, you know, my hair ain't together, whatever you say about me, I know who I am. Now, mind you, I'm praying and believing, Lord, if they're telling me something that I need to check, that I'm being nasty, that I'm not being forgiving, and I'm going to do that because I want to still be in the presence of God because I want to stand before him with clean hands and a pure heart. And so if the God is telling me, hey, you have some narcissistic ways you need to fix it, you better believe I'm going to check that. What is narcissism in? And that's what I tell people when people say, one of the words, and they're like, do you know what that means? I'm like, absolutely. I don't call myself nothing unless I look it up. And I am confident in what I say. And most likely, it may excuse me from where God really wants me to kind of go. I am consciously aware because I've studied enough to know enough about Leah. Because I know Leah's going to stand before God, and Leah's going to have to give an account, just as all of us will. So sometimes when we get caught up believing what other people say, and you miss your blessing, that's all you do. No, forgive, move on. And that's why I love Matthew. Matthew, and verse 18, you know, you got to read the whole chapter. But I love that God highlighted for this particular lesson was 21 and 22. It said Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times did I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? And is it up to seven times? And Jesus says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, I know people's calculate that out, but that's a whole many times I have to forgive this person. No, that's not what that means. This would be a metaphor for an assembly. Amen. Or whatever leads you want to put on it. But that means however many times you need to forgive, and that's how many times you forgive them. Do not let the sun go down on red. Praise of forgiveness. Therefore, the kingdom is like the man who wanted to enter and sell his account with the servants, and then a lot of people that owed him money. And then when he couldn't pay, he wanted his debt to be repaid. He wanted to be forgiven. But he couldn't forgive the people that owed him money. How does that work? But that's how we do. We want everybody to forgive us, but then we don't want to forgive other people. Saints, it doesn't work that way. Me and my husband were going through some things with my brother-in-law, and I like call him things like, but amen, it was significant for me because he said, Leah, you're angry. And I'm like, no, I'm not angry. No, what am I angry for? We all make mistakes. I understand that wholeheartedly, hands down. I am not going to hell for nobody. You better believe I'm not going to let off to my hand. I'll call you. If you think I need to apologize, tell me, please. Because I want to apologize. Because I'm not holding nothing on anybody. Because as my grandmother left, female praise God for 97 years, but any of us can go at any moment, and we want to stand before God and hear him say, good and faithful servant. So, because you stepped on my toe, because you, charged me with something that didn't belong to me, or if you stole something, I'm going to let that keep me from hearing the master say to me, no, never. Remember, it's not that serious to me. Now, granted, it happened overnight, as I told you with my grandmother. It took years for us to get to there. But I'm grateful that we did, because I'm at peace. I know she is with the Father. I don't have to grieve. I mean, I'm disappointed that, I won't be able to see her anymore or hear her voice anymore. Praise God, praise God, technology. I started saving her messages a couple of years ago. And so whenever I want to hear her voice, all I got to do is go to voicemail. Thankfully, God allows the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us so that we're not caught up in our emotions to take the places that we don't deserve to be. You got to understand, we got to start looking at grace a different way. We got to start responding to people differently. And maybe we'll be able to talk a little bit about that next week on just how we carry ourselves when people are grieving. Going up to somebody and say to be absent with the body, to be present with the Lord. I don't think that that's the time to say that. Scripture. Just try to love them and keep walking. Got to let people have space to figure out what they need to figure out. Because you don't know the relationship. You don't know the situation. It sounds good. And you don't have to talk to the people. And if they don't call you back, it's okay. We can still caught up in this world because by ourselves, we're not using empathy. If somebody calls you, passed away, do you want to run to the phone and be talking and hearing the story over and over and over and over and over again? You think if there's five people call in an hour period, you rehearse that over and over again. Are you thinking about that other person, or you just want them to hear your voice? Is that you being selfish? I mean, come on. Call them hours, weeks later when nobody's calling anymore, and then find out how they're doing. Don't bombard them just because you believe they have to hear your voice. It's not right. But nevertheless, I told you, I'm out of time. Not out of time, but I am out of time. And so I want you to tune in again next week. We'll have another inspiring word. We'll share this in our house. But remember, you got to start looking at grace differently. Look at grace integrity, empathy, and to be able to forgive. 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, Mark 12:30-31, Philippians 4:8, Romans 12:5, Matthew 18:21-22. So remember, 2 Corinthians 12, Mark 12, Philippians 4, Romans 12, and Mark 18. Read the whole chapters, and then we'll see you next week with another inspiring word. Last week I got caught up and I forgot. I always close the podcast with my grandchildren song every praise, and it was like, but then I can sing the song and play the song and know that praise God, every praise that belongs to God. And I was still dedicated to my podcast, always to her because she was a wonderful listener. So again, always start your day with prayer. Pray out your day and end your day with prayer. Let's be silent. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. Yeah.